Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Magic Within podcast, season 2, episode 2. And it is all about Ratatouille. I didn't even plan that. I swear to God, I didn't plan that.
2-2-2.
All the twos. This is actually a request that I should actually get the name. I'll try and remember to put a comment here. Somebody requested that we discover the magic within Ratatouille, and we're all about doing what you guys want us to do. So, yeah, when we actually went back and watched it together for the first time.
It was really cute watching it together, wasn't it?
Yeah. I guess we kick off every time. We kick off with your first kind of memory, your first moment of Ratatouille. I think, this was the one that... first time I ever watched this was with my dad and my brother.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. That's cute. It was when I'd gone to my dad's for the weekend. I feel like this one, again, I don't know, something about the Pixar films that appeal to an outside audience that aren't Disney fans as such, like Up, Toy Story, Cars. I feel like they have more of a mass appeal in a way.
Yeah, I feel like they do. They don't feel as like Disney.
No.
Even though they are.
They explore life outside of... A bit more real.
Yeah.
You could say, I guess. Obviously, there is exceptions. But, like, they were in France, you know. It's about food. It's about restaurants. Mm. It felt more real. It didn't feel like on the streets of Paris.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a make-believe place. Where it was like, I know.
Technically. Not a fairy tale.
Yeah, that's it. No, they're not fairy tales. That's exactly it. I think that's my first memory. What was watching it with my dad and my brother. Mm. What about you?
I remember, I think I might have watched it at uni, but then I went to Paris for the first time, and then I went on the ride, and then I rewatched it, and I remember like it was the rat going on the ride that made me enjoy the movie more, because I was like, this is crazy. I am in the movie.
I didn't go on the ride until... With you.
Yeah.
With you in Paris for the first time. That obviously been on it in Epcot now. And it was the first ever trackless ride, I think, that I'd been on.
Yeah, that was the first ride that I'd been on where, like, if anyone ever asked me about Disneyland Paris after that, I was like, you have to go on the Ratatouille ride.
Yeah, no, it's like...
It's so good.
It is awesome. And it does fit in France as well. I have a general rule of thumb, because I'm not French, that like I kind of prefer the things in the American parks because they speak English. And that's my ignorance completely. Like, I accept that. But
you need to learn how to speak French.
but the Ratatouille ride being in Disneyland Paris, it fits. I didn't mind that they were speaking French, because I was like, they should be. And there's a little, because there's like a little, it's funny because there's a Paris section in Disneyland Paris. Mm. Well, it's in the Studios Park, isn't it? And obviously Remy's restaurant, and like there's little details, like the little top hats and stuff like that. But we are going to talk about Ratatouille in the parks. Obviously, we always talk about it in the parks, but we'll talk about the films as well.
There should be more than one.
I mean, the sequel, I mean, it names itself, really, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Ratatouille. It's filled with iconic moments. I think until I kind of started doing the bit of the research for this podcast and what we're going to talk about, some of the themes I think are more people can relate to them than you would think, and that might be why it was such a good film. That's it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got anything else to add. I hope you sit tight, stay, and enjoy the episode. And without further ado, episode 2.
Ratatouille.
Season 2, episode 2, Ratatouille, the magic within Ratatouille. Bye, 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 bye. These facts that you might not know, but you might. That's it.
Let's go.
Yeah, so kicking off with the facts about Ratatouille, I actually have some kind of, not boring, but like factual facts that I've just did a little bit of research on then in terms of box office. So it came out in 2007, and it was the second highest grossing animated film in 2007, fifth or sixth highest grossing in 2007 altogether. Won
that's pretty good.
The Oscar for best animated film. So it was actually, this is what I mean by it had more like widespread acclaim and widespread like appreciation than just kind of Disney fans. So it obviously it won the Oscar. So yeah, that was just a little fact. Not everyone knows.
Connected.
So yeah, there's a little fact. I think it grossed, I think budget was 150 mil. Grossed 627.
Whoa, that's
did
good.
Did all right. Took a fair bit of money. But yeah, here's the facts that you might not know, but you might. This one might not come to that many people as much of a shock, but the Pixar and Disney team worked very closely with chefs during the production to make sure that the food animation was realistic as possible. So that's why when we see some of these scenes, I mean, the Ratatouille scene when he makes it obviously sticks out the most. And that's probably a throwback to almost like they apparently brought in a lion, didn't they, for the Lion King drawers to draw.
Oh, yeah.
And like they brought in Dalmatian puppies when they were doing 101 Dalmatians. So
oh, my God.
They've got a rich history of like working closely with the subject to make sure that they do it justice in the animation process. So
yeah.
I found that quite interesting. Mm. Gusto's design was actually inspired by a real-life French chef.
Oh, okay.
Called Bernard Loiseau. I don't know if I've butchered that. It's L-O-I-S-E-A-U. Loiseau. Bernard Loiseau. But yeah, maybe, because Gusto Loiseau.
Oh, yeah.
So probably. He was known for his culinary passion, larger-than-life personality. This inspiration added to the depth film and the portrayal of French cuisine. So I didn't actually know that. I found that pretty cool. I want to find out who this guy is. Influence of Paris, again, this kind of folds back into the first one. So a lot of the animation team and researchers did a lot of trips to Paris so they could capture the essence of Paris. And this is the more of it, the fact that you might not know, they actually apparently went underneath Paris into the sewage so they could get that right as well for the scenes with the rats.
Oh my God, wow.
So they went to that kind that length to make sure that they got it all correct. Yeah. So yeah, and Linguini's voice actor, Lou Romano. So this is my last fact that you might not know. Lou Romano was originally part of the production design team. When Romano's voice was used in an early test recording, I'll try that again. When Romano's voice was used in an early test recording, they found that it fit the character so well that they just kept him and went with it. And this unconventional casting, I think, really like added to like Linguini's character.
Yeah, he sounds so normal.
He's clumsy, isn't he? He's like, normal. Like, yeah. He's from this like unbelievable family, but like he's so normal. And like that is not the only time that has happened, because the same thing happened with Coco. With Miguel. So I love that Disney aren't so set in the ways that they're like, no, like we want a big name for this. It's like whoever's the casting director, they hear a voice and it fits, they're like, why are we going to go and spend all that money on this like person that we don't know when we've got the person for the job here?
And it also gives that person like a chance.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of authenticity as well. I mean, not Disney, but Brett Goldstein was a writer, wasn't he? The guy that plays Roy Kent in Ted Lasso. He wasn't an actor.
Yeah.
But then, like, he read lines and they were like, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's me facts. Geordie's facts that you might not know. Now you do.
Amazing.
Okay, so I was talking just then about the authenticity, I guess, of the animation in this film and the lengths that they went to make sure it was all done justice. So what is your favourite? Well, what are your favourite kind of scenes? What scenes stick out to you?
One of my favourite parts is, so they're all rats, right?
They are, yeah.
They are rats.
Spoiler alert.
Very ratty. But my favourite part of, like, Remy himself is that, like, his family are so authentically rats, but he's there walking on just two legs, because he wants to keep his hands clean
mm-hmm.
to cook the food because he's a real chef.
Yeah.
And he's not really a rat, is he? Like,
No.
I just like that he's so different from them.
Yeah, no.
And that's like one of the biggest themes that runs throughout is this right reminder that he's not the same as his family and mm-hmm. that's what he struggles with.
Yeah, yeah.
But also like that's quite deep, but it's also just really cute.
Yeah,
at the same time that he just stands up.
I agree. Yeah, I think there is little things like, I don't know, like rats are scary. Well, not scary, but like
they are a little bit.
Yeah,
in real life,
they're seen as scary, aren't they? But like,
yeah. like Lady and the Tramp, that rat is horrible.
But like when Remy gets all wet and he's up. He's so cute, and he's like, he's just a nice guy, he just wants to cook food.
And he's just like washing his hands, making sure his hands are clean. And then, like, obviously, rats are meant to be the most filthiest creatures.
Well, some of the most iconic scenes.
He really tries not to be.
That is one of the most iconic scenes for me, is like how well done and well animated that first scene when they're like all in the ceiling and like they escape around the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's
incredible.
Yeah, it's so good. And then obviously when he cooks the food and he tells his brother, I can't remember his brother's name.
Oh my God, I've forgotten his brother's name.
Yeah, like Cecile or something like that.
Oh, something like that.
Something, Pierre, something French. and then he goes on, like tells it to close his eyes. It was almost like Dumbo-like animation.
Yeah,
It's just really cool. And I agree. That's one thing that Pixar always do incredibly well, is just like the personification of something that was seen as not cute or like, and just twisting it on its head. Like, it's just so clever. No one had ever done it before. It's like, I want to make a film about a rat who wants to be a chef. It's like,
yeah,
that's brilliant. It's just brilliant. Like, I want to hear more about it.
Yeah.
But I think his relationship with Gusto, I think, again, them scenes, the scenes when he pops up and he sees Paris for the first time.
Mm.
It's so pleasing.
Yeah.
It's so pleasing.
It's so beautiful.
So, like, visually pleasing when you see him putting together that ratatouille dish
and
the flashback. When he eats it, because that is so, like, relatable.
Yeah.
Of, like, having a mouthful of food and just going back.
Yeah.
To, it just completely takes you back. And like, I love food. I've worked in restaurants and stuff and stuff like that. Some of my friends are chefs. And food is an incredible thing, and it can do that. It can invoke that type of emotion out of you. And I think they really displayed that. Well, and I think these are the type of things of why it probably went on to win an Oscar, because that's like
very emotive.
Yeah, very emotive. Like, having the bite of something can take you back to being sat around the dinner table having your mum cook you something.
Yeah.
Like, it's really cute. Like, smells can do that. Mm. Like, and it's sensory.
Yeah.
And taste is obviously one of the main senses. So
I do have a fact about, so you're saying when it took him back to being in his mum's house when he was little, that house is supposedly, it's got the same things in it as the house that Remy is in at the beginning that they all live in.
Oh, right.
So it's got the same fruit bowl, it's got the same chair, the same lamp. Obviously, it's like,
so is that his mum?
40, 50 years later, so it's flashback, but apparently it's the same house. So it all comes back round.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't know if it's actually been confirmed, but if you look on the pictures.
There's Pixar in a nutshell to do something like that. It's awesome. It really is. Like, I forgot how good it was. Like, even like the little things, like when he's sailing down the river and he jumps on a little bit of wood, and then it's like, you realize how little he is.
So tiny.
And like, seeing a kitchen done that well, because they didn't make it look like the nicest place to be, and professional kitchens aren't a nice place to be generally. Mm. And I think they did that very well.
Yeah, the stress of it
all. The puppeteering and that, it's all so good. It's all so clever. And the first time you watch it, it's just one of them things that, like, you start watching and you get hooked straight away and you just can't stop watching it. And then it ends. And it's like, oh, wow, right. That's like, and...
Yeah.
I feel like that's the sign of a really, really good film. Mm. So, yeah, that's, I guess that's my favourite bit in terms of the animation. What were we even talking about?
we're just talking about our favourite bits, really.
Yeah, true. The final resolution of the film is something I think it's important, especially for people within the hospitality industry, aspiring chefs, aspiring restaurateurs or restauranteurs, whatever they're called, that, like, your dream can close.
Mm.
It doesn't mean you should give up. It doesn't mean that that's the end of the road. Like, I think Gordon Ramsay opened a restaurant in Glasgow and it shut within 18 months. Like, things are going to go wrong sometimes, justifiably, sometimes unjustifiably. Yeah. Sometimes it'll feel like the world's against you. Sometimes you'll be like, I'm messed up, but... It doesn't.
I love that.
Deter theme. Remy from his vision of being like, all right, cool. I don't care where it is.
Yeah.
I just want to feed people. I want people to love the food that I make. And like,
yeah, it takes you back to like, what's the real reason he does it? Because he can still do it. It doesn't have to make people happy. It's not the location. It's just making other people or other rats as well.
And now let me tell you, that is one way that you surefire way to get fed if you work in a restaurant. If a chef ever feeds you, take that food, smile and say thank you and tell them how nice it tastes, because 9 times out of 10 that's why chefs do the job. So if you do that, they're going to feed you again because they get the reaction that they want. That's a lesson that I learned early doors. I mean, it was always nice food they'd given me, so there wasn't much acting going down, but just showing appreciation. And again, on that note as well, if you do ever go out for a meal and you have a particularly really nice meal, and you tell the waiter to go and tell the chef, having been the waiter that goes and tells the chef, like, it puts a smile on the face, and it's not easy to put a smile on a chef's face. So, like, honestly, just, like, take that time out of your day to show a bit of appreciation. Mm. Because, yeah, cooking is an art, to be fair.
Yeah.
I would never say I'm a chef. I would say I'm a cook.
You're a very good cook, though.
I'm a home cook, but I like doing it under that kind of pressure that they do. That's where it becomes like you have to have a real love and a real passion for it.
Yeah, otherwise it'll knock you down. Because you're
like, nope, no, thank you. That's not why I do it. Like, but some people do it for that reason.
I feel like I really resonate with this film, like, because I'm self-employed, where it's like, yeah, if it doesn't work, just do another thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And just keep going, as long as you enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the ending.
Some people as well, it's like you don't need to own. I mean, this is very much a theme as well. We'll go on to the themes in a little bit, but obviously, like, you don't, most chefs, if they're doing it for the right reasons or whatever, they don't want to be the owner of a McDonald's.
No.
They want to own one or maybe two or three restaurants tops, and they want them all, they want to have complete control of the menus and make sure that what they deliver is quality.
Yeah.
And they deliver a service. So, like,
yeah,
it's that again, it's what you see as rich, isn't it? It's, but we will go on to the themes, but first, we're probably, I think, gonna go on to the characters, right?
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about the characters. So, kicking off with, of course, Remy, he's my favorite rat in the world. Not
mouse, not rat.
This is a mouse, just to make that clear. I'm a big fan of Remy. Remy, I think, I'm talking about an animated rat, but Remy is very loyal. Remy's loyalty, but Remy, dreamer, he's very much a dreamer. He's got a lot of passion for cooking. He wants to be a chef. He's not going to let anything stand in the way of him being a chef. However, he's very loyal to his family.
It's quite like split with those two things, isn't it?
It's completely split because, like, him going and being a chef is the exact opposite of, like, following the family, the family business, essentially.
He's a rat.
but his dad seems to be, like, head honcho of the rats.
Yeah. And they just eat crap.
Yeah. And, like,
you eat to.
So, like, that's what survive. I mean. I feel like. He's like, it's like the family, it's like the old family business crack. Mm. It's like, well, I don't want to be a plumber. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to sell cars. Like, it's like, Yeah, but my dad before his did and my dad before his did. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. And it's that old story, but just in a complete different medium of a rat and a rat that wants to be a chef.
So good.
And, yeah, doesn't want to disappoint his family, but also can't live with himself if he doesn't somehow try and chase this dream that is the most unlikely dream as far as, like, it's like me being like, I want to be a shark.
Yeah.
You know, like, but you can't breathe underwater. Well, like, it's like, I don't know. It's bizarre to even think, or like me saying, I want to be a racehorse, you know, like, and it's that, like, your species is not built for that. Yeah. It's like, it's the most unlikely thing ever. But like, Remy's like, nah, I don't care. I've got a dream and I'm going to try and achieve it.
I love that at the end he has his own rat restaurant and it's just like he did it. He did both. You just think, how is he going to combine both of these things together? Like, you can't do that.
No, but he does.
And he does.
It's because the restaurant shuts down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, Gusto shuts down.
And
rightly so.
Yeah. I mean, it's full of rats.
It's full of rats. Like, a rat is cooking the food. So yeah. Pretty cool though.
That scene where they're all helping cook and there's just like hundreds of them like helping out. It's so funny.
Love, and you know what I love though? That Anton Ego didn't care.
I know. He was just that impressed by the food.
Yeah.
That's how good the food
That's
was.
How it should be. It's not about the artist, it's about the art, you know.
Remy did get them all to wash their hands, so yeah,
I should hope so. Always when we're prepping. But talking about Remy, you can't talk about Remy without Linguini.
Yeah.
I like Linguini.
I love how he's basically faking it till he makes it, and then in the end he is more confident anyway.
He
actually does.
He's the thing.
Get what he wants.
That's why they're a perfect team. Because like he's got Gusto's DNA.
Yeah.
So like nepotism. no, but like, you know what I mean. He's a human, and obviously he's related to Gusto, and he has the passion. He does have the passion for the food.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the knowledge or the flair. He needs to be taught, and there's no one in that kitchen that was going to teach him. That's the thing, and that's again another strong message. And I've seen it happen in professional kitchens where, like, everyone needs a mentor. Everyone needs you need a good head chef. That's why the role of a head chef is so important, because you're not just like, if sometimes you turn into like a father figure or a mother figure, depending on, you know, it's more than just that. So like there was, and the head chef in there at the time was an ass. So,
oh,
like,
God, yeah.
He was never going to help. And had it not been for a rat, Linguini never would have reached the potential that he had. So yeah, strange. But I like that, like, yeah, Linguini fakes it till he makes it, and he's clumsy and like.
Yeah, I love how awkward he is.
Refreshing to see that in like a main character.
I love that.
The confident one's the rat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the human's useless.
Yeah,
like.
He's so useless. I love that the scene when he's down by the river and he's gonna like chuck him in the river, and he's just like, "Why am I talking to a rat?"
Yeah.
And then just like becomes friends with him. Like, he's so sweet.
He is. He's a nice guy,
yeah.
And he's happy to take the help, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess we talk about the good guys, we're going to talk about the bad guys as well. Anton Ego, the food critic, I guess you could say he's one of the bad guys at first, but I mean, just, this is, again, something else that I think deserves plaudits and deserves praise, and probably why it won an Oscar, is... like, how good the character design of all these people are. Whether it was the head chef that was originally there, I can't remember his name, Anton Ego. Like, he's so perfectly designed as a character and drawn and beautifully created that he's just like this intimidating, slimy French vampire looking.
Does look like a vampire.
Yeah.
His voice
and
as
like,
well.
And like, say Linguini. He looks so innocent and so, like, naive, and that's in the character the design.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the head chef, what's he called? Like the epitome of Chef Skinner.
Yeah.
Small man syndrome.
Yeah.
Chef small man syndrome, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Angry little man.
Little angry man.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's all so perfect. All of it is so perfectly done. And when you throw all these things together into one big pan, you get nice soup.
Anton as well, do you know how he says, he doesn't swallow unless he loves it. So at the end of the movie, when he's coming back to the restaurant that Remy now has, he's got a fatter face. He's fatter.
No.
He's not fat, but like he was so skinny.
Right.
So it's like he's obviously going back and back. And he's just eating because he loves it.
Oh, good.
So I just really like that. I read that before and nice. I was like, and he just looks happier and his whole face changed. Look
happier for sure.
Because he's a little chubbier probably. Like, yeah. He's not as intimidating with his like.
We're all happier when we're a little bit chubbier.
Yeah, his face isn't as like gaunt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, that's really cute. He looks like that. He looks like the kid version of him again a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. No, I was thinking that, and now I can actually picture it. I didn't really think about it at the time, but.
So his like character, obviously, it's only right at the end.
Like, I just thought like he'd aged a bit. I didn't actually think, oh yeah, he's been eating because he was at Remy's. Yeah,
it's because he's happy. He likes the food.
I love that.
He's eating the food.
Actually eating for once.
Yeah.
And of course, there's more characters. There is more characters. We love Emil.
Yeah.
We remembered his name. / looked it up. I thought it was Cecile. It was definitely.
You know what? It's close though.
It definitely wasn't Pierre. but it's Emil, but he's cute. Like all of them.
I like the lady. I've forgotten her name now, but that Linguini's going out with.
Yeah, no, she's awesome. Great.
She's a strong, powerful woman. She's not putting up with anything. Like
she's good chef.
Girl boss.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. I'm not that comfy, you know, guys. so yeah, from that, well, obviously. I've touched on them a little bit as we've been going through, both of us have, but the themes are very important in this, and it's not something you think about until probably the second or third time you maybe start to, you've watched it. So first you're just like, oh, rat.
Yeah.
Oh, the rat's cooking. But then you actually start to realise that, like, this little rat, like I was saying before, there's a big theme of, like, just chase your dreams, no matter how unlikely they are. No matter how many people say you're not right for that, or like a rat can't be a chef, or like this person can't do that, or like you're not meant to, or that people in the past haven't looked like you, or haven't been your gender or your sexuality or whatever. There's so many different things that you can take from it. Basically, the point is, if anybody tells you you can't do something, just tell them to shove it and go and do it. And
I love that message for kids that are watching it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Just go and do it. Like, Remy the Rat, you know, head chef of the best restaurant in Paris, and then it gets shut down. But that's not the end of the story, because that's not what it was about. It wasn't about having that restaurant. It was just about having a restaurant, being able to share his love for food with people he loves and others and anyone who's willing to come and try it. So, like, and he achieves that. And I think that's very important. I think we see that quite often throughout Pixar films. It's not, you don't always get the end that you think you're going to get.
No.
Like Lightning McQueen. he didn't win the Piston Cup in the first one. We all thought he was going to, but like what he did learn, what he did win was friends.
yeah, true.
But we'll do one about Cars later on.
I didn't like because it was sad, but when what's his name Skinner when he was making
Skinner
when he was making the like the ready meals and stuff out of like all of his food and out like
Gusto's
food. Like ruining his memory,
commercializing like, it and that
like I bet that happens with so many businesses that
Disney.
I did just think about that, but it sounds a bit sad. But like,
no, because like, yeah, like
the
not,
original is taken away what it's really meant to be about. But then Remy's the one who's remembering that.
I think there was an element, and I think that's what there was a certain fella called Bob in charge not too long ago, and people started to feel like it was a lot more commercialised at that point. And because you can't deny that Walt commercialised everything. Like, that was him.
Oh, yeah.
That was him. That wasn't somebody doing it.
It's like, about why, isn't it?
Exactly. But, like, Gusto's, you can't do that. It's like you can't put a Disneyland in every country for the sake of there being a Disneyland on Walt's name, because they wouldn't all be right. They wouldn't all, you can't do it. And I think that's what Skinner was trying to do.
Mm.
Like, ready meals. Like, it's like, nah.
You can't recreate the feelings he's made from his recipes.
And we say that, in 30 you know seconds, what? But now you go to Iceland.
To be fair, yeah, but you put love into like that.
Franco Manca. Like, all the, there's a load of restaurants in there now.
True.
TGI Fridays. Greg's. Greg's. Harry Ramsden's. These aren't real restaurants, to be fair.
No.
These are the chain. Mass-produced
Nando's
restaurants, aren't they?
But to be fair, you can make a good Nando's at home.
Yeah, no, you definitely. It's they just provide you with the sauce, really. They don't. They just and the seasoning.
Yeah,
it's not the same because you've not got a big flame grill.
Mm.
Well, we've not one day maybe.
But yeah, I don't know if there's a theme behind that, but that's like the he's like manipulating his memory and stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it comes into like the identity and like. Not tarnishing the identity. Creativity is huge, obviously, and risk. I think push yourself out of your comfort zone. I think that's quite a clear message that Remy has to do. Chefs have to do that. You can't keep cooking the same dish forever. You know, like, and that's what happened. Linguini cooked this.
Mm.
It was like, oh, it was amazing. It was like, all right, okay, now do this. And it's like, Remy was also constantly put in this position where it's like, all right, I'm just going to have to roll with it.
Yeah.
But greatness, that's...
Yeah.
That's if you I think there's a quote in it, isn't there?
Anyone
can cook, but... Anyone can cook, but only... I've wrote it down. I lost it. Anyone can cook, but only the fearless can be great.
That's what it is. Oh, so, I like that.
Yeah, and I think that's it. He was fearless. Remy is very much fearless throughout the film.
There is so many, like, really nice lessons in this movie.
And this is one that I was going to mention.
That's why it's probably got an Oscar.
judgment and transformation, not judging a book by its cover.
Yeah.
That's what the critic goes through.
Yes.
Not be more open-minded. Don't just be like, no, it's crap. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he gets his mind changed and, like you said, becomes happier for it.
Yeah,
Don't always just, like...
Don't be so shut off.
Yeah, listen to people, you know? Like, listen to other people's point of views. You're not always going to agree with them, but you might be able to take something from it. And, yeah, these... Again, like you said, this is probably why it won an Oscar, because when you actually go and delve deep into the themes, you start to unravel how important and how nice and how wholesome.
It's so lovely, isn't
it? This film is, and how many nice, wholesome messages are kind of woven within the duvet, the blanket.
Like the layers of the ratatouille.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I like it. Okay. Right, now we are going to talk about Ratatouille in the parks, because we always talk about things in the parks. The parks are the best bit.
It's got to be done.
Yeah, there is two rides, one in Florida, one in Paris. They're the same ride. One isn't better than the other, in all honesty, from my experience.
I think I like the Paris one better, but it's a stupid point to make because it's just because I went on it first. It felt better.
Yeah,
like,
see.
I feel like it's one of those rides where you remember the first time you went on it because it's all a surprise.
They balance out for me, really, because Epcot I prefer because I can hear what they're saying.
Oh, true.
And
good point.
Also, when I walk out of it, I'm in Epcot.
Yeah, good point.
Which is great. However, there's something about it being in Paris, and when you walk out, you see Remy's restaurant.
Yeah, you can see them sat.
Café de Remy, is it?
Yeah, and it's literally decorated the same as the restaurant at the end.
Yeah, so
It's so cool.
I think it's, oh, Bistro de Remy.
Remy's Bistro?
Remy's Bistro. I don't know, whatever it's called. Mm. Yeah, so it's tough. It's a tricky one. I've not managed to meet Remy. I think it has happened.
Yeah.
And Emil.
Yeah, I just watched a video on TikTok yesterday of Remy and Emil dancing in the parks. And that looks awesome. I want to dance with them.
Yeah,
they look so cute.
I totally do as well.
They look so cute because they're like obviously human-sized when they're in the parks if they're dressed, you know, if they're actual characters.
The Ratatouille is very well loved because you can tell by the amount of merch.
Yeah.
Just Ratatouille merch. I think they're just good at making Ratatouille merch because...
They're clever.
There's a lot of like kitchen... kitchenware, anything in the kitchen you can make it Ratatouille themed, mm-hmm. like aprons, a cookbook. There is a Gusto's cookbook, and there's nothing in it, it's just empty. But I think I've been very tempted to buy it, probably.
Yeah, is it a notebook?
Yeah. It's like a recipe book, so you write your own recipes in it.
So, Alex, I know that.
We've got a Remy shoulder pal. And he's got a little chef's hat on. I wear him sometimes on my shoulder when I'm cooking.
That hat in the parks, everyone has as well.
Yeah, as like, I say, it's like a remote control. Yeah. So it's like a chef's hat, like a big, tall, white chef's hat. You must have a button. And little Remy pops his head out of the top. It's brilliant.
You did look at it, didn't you?
Yeah, I nearly got it, but
it is unnecessary. Yeah. However, everything that we buy probably is.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't get it in the end. I think
maybe you didn't want to squish it in your suitcase.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think it was about packing it. Mm. And I definitely didn't want to wear it on the plane.
They're going through
customs, getting scanned.
I thought, oh my God, he's taking a rat to the UK.
Yeah, you've got a rat in your hat.
They'll probably see loads of people with them.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I took a lightsaber home.
Yeah,
so.
And they didn't bat an eye.
No, they didn't. As far as I'm aware, there's not plans for any more Ratatouille to come to the parks or it to be like there to be a sequel, a show, nothing. No. Like it's silence on the Ratatouille front, really, isn't it?
Do you remember in lockdown people on TikTok were making a Ratatouille the musical?
No.
Did you not remember that? I just had a flashback then. People on TikTok around the world were making up songs in choreography and be like, oh, this is the costume design. Like, it just because everyone was so bored.
That's hilarious.
It was really good. We should go look at the hashtag and look at it.
Yeah, we should. Well, I think, speaking of people, Ratatouille on TikTok, I guess this is going away from the parks, but I've seen people make the actual, like, Ratatouille that Remy made.
Oh, yeah,
perfect replica of it kind of thing. And that's cool.
I'd eat that.
Like we said, though, there is Remy's restaurant. That's in Paris. That's not in Epcot. Mm. In Epcot, it's just within the France Pavilion. Whereas within Paris, it's in Paris, in Walt Disney Studios, in Disneyland Paris. It's confusing, but there's just a little Parisian looking section.
Yeah,
within Paris. Yeah, like I mentioned before. So we're going to go back on that in less than 80 days, I want to say now.
Yeah.
So we'll let you know how that is and see if it does live up to it. We've not even mentioned the song.
It gets stuck in your head.
That's the theme song. Was that in Ratatouille the musical?
Probably should have been.
Yeah.
If not,
not that with them words. Remy, no. He's around and he likes to cook food.
Oh, I have some other random facts that I can throw at you.
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, so do you remember The Incredibles? Obviously,
yeah.
There's a French guy at the beginning of the movie called Kaboom, who throws a bomb.
Okay.
And it's the reason that Mr. Incredible and Syndrome meet in the very beginning of the movie.
Okay.
He is a mime in the streets in Paris, in Ratatouille.
Right.
And another one.
They always be doing these things.
Another one also to do with The Incredibles is when Linguini's deciding where to put him, and he's like, oh, maybe I should put him down my pants. You can see he's got Mr. Incredible boxers on.
Sorry, so we see it's all in the same universe.
Yeah.
Everyone's a fan of the Incredibles, even if you're French.
Yeah, even if you're
American-speaking French people.
Right. So he's not French.
Like, none of them are, darling. But they all are. I think that's the crack. I think they're all, in my head, in my head, it's one of the things where they're all speaking French. But like,
but we're watching the movie. But
I hear it in English.
Yeah.
But they're all actually speaking French because it's in France. But like, I'm watching like a dubbed version almost.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel you.
I don't know why. Mm. You know, it's like only, I don't know, something like Futurama where it's like, oh, you're hearing my alien language in English because.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that, yeah. That's, like Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's the way I see it, but I don't know. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I brought it up, actually.
good point.
Yeah, good point, me. Well done, me.
Did you say your favourite thing?
My favourite.
When I said mine. About him standing on his feet.
Well, the favourite scene, or just the favourite...
Like, what's your favourite bit?
My favourite part of the movie.
Yeah, did you say?
I like when he makes a soup at the start, because I said to you, didn't I? Do you remember me saying, like, it blew my mind even just watching it as an animation. Like, I didn't understand how to just throw a load of things in water. And, like, I didn't... I never knew how you made soup. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, and then, like... And we made soup like a few weeks ago.
Didn't we make it because it we watched that? You made the
Is that why
we watched the movie
as we were eating it?
And you were talking about how you didn't understand how you made soup, and then you made a really, really good soup.
It was good soup.
It was like slow cooking all day.
Didn't make me feel bad. I was still ill. But,
it's
when we're real, so we haven't been speaking to you guys for a bit. But that's it. No. You carry on. That's everything, guys. That pretty much brings us to the the end of the episode. There's not that much more, I guess, that we can talk about. We've spoke about our favourite things. We can speak about why it holds a special place. I can't speak for everyone else, obviously. I think it holds a special place for me because I can't remember many Disney films. The first time I watched it was with my dad. And my dad loves cooking as well, that's the thing. I don't know. I think there's that. I love cooking. The soup.
The soup.
It sticks out for me now. Like, not quite as iconic as Up, but, like, it's just a really, really good animated film that you don't have to be a Disney fan to appreciate.
No, I think since we watched it and we've been to the parks and stuff, we just love Remy and everything about Ratatouille now, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true, like, actually, yeah.
It's a we got a shoulder pad. We love the shoulder pad.
You're right. Now, when I think Ratatouille, like, I do think of the parks too. So that, obviously, I'm like, oh, God, it was a nightmare.
I was about to say, oh, God, actually, I remember trying to get on it. That's not a positive thing.
No, it was a nightmare. It was just, like, Genie Plus at the time.
Yeah, it kept getting pushed back.
And then it, like, just... broke down, and then I couldn't get my... Oh, it was just a nightmare. So I mean, if you're going to go early to that one.
For that one.
Yeah, that's a little heads up.
Try and get out of the way.
For all y'all. I don't know why I went American then. Let me just check my notes. Of course, as always, we want you guys to let us know in the comments what your favourite moment for Ratatouille is, why it holds a special place for you, maybe why it doesn't, maybe why you're like, no, Jordan, this is a stupid film. I wish you'd never done an episode about this, but that's how it be, unfortunately. Someone requested it, and I personally love it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And I knew I loved it. Upon rewatching it, I love it even more, which happens with a lot of Disney films that I rewatch, but it happened again. Quick shout out to Patton Oswalt for voicing Remy. I feel like I've not said a lot about
him.
He did such a great job. I feel like Patton Oswalt is one of them guys. Is it Patton Oswalt or Oswald? Patton Oswalt.
He's Oswald, is it?
I don't know. But it's a kind of goes to the point that I'm going to say. I feel like people don't appreciate him and how good he is and how great, like how many things he's been in.
He's very emotive with just his words.
Yeah, he was really good as Remy. I never really thought him that much of a voice actor, but then when you check his resume, he actually does a lot.
Yeah.
So no surprise that he did a stellar job. But yeah, back to you guys. You let us know what's your favourite. And yeah, you know what to do. You know the rest. Like, comment, subscribe. That helps us more than you know. We are going to be back for the next 6 weeks from now, I think, or seven, I think, just leading right up to the new year. And next week, we're going back to the parks for an episode.
Yes.
And we're going back to Orlando for an episode. And we are going back to Magic Kingdom for a whole episode. I know we've done Disney World before, but
we're going to hone in on it.
We're going to do a whole episode about Magic Kingdom. I think last time we only spoke about it for about half an hour. so we're going to speak about it a little bit more. There's actually been some more, what's the word?
Updates.
I was looking for a better one, but updates is a word that works in that situation. I don't know what the word I was looking for was. But yeah, there's been some more updates. There's been some more information about things that are coming to Magic Kingdom. So obviously we get to talk about that we didn't get to talk about last time. We'll do a deep dive on each of the zones, I guess you can call them, the lands. Don't know why I called them zones.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a bad day for me. Fantasy zone. I should go in the naughty zone. I was thinking I was on Crystal Maze. But yeah, so we'll deep dive into each of the lands, talk about our favourite rides in Magic Kingdom. First time you've ever been this year.
Yes, it was incredible.
But we're booked to go again, as well as some of the special events that take place in Magic Kingdom, because we have been to After Hours.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that again. And we're going to go to Halloween. We're not going to get to go to the not so scary Christmas party. All right. That's all right.
Yeah.
So you've got that to look forward to. But it should be the 1st of December when we release the Magic Kingdom one, which is crazy.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, Christmas is coming. The holidays are coming. You know what to do, guys. The magicwithin.pod on Instagram and TikTok. And Mickey's Best Pal on Instagram and TikTok as well. It's actually, on the day that we're recording this, it's Mickey Mouse's birthday.
So yeah, happy birthday, Mickey.
Happy birthday, Mickey.
Oh, it's his birthday.
So, yeah, you know what to do. Follow, like, subscribe. I'll see you next week. We've been Jordy and Jay. Have a magical day.
Have a magical day.
Why did I kiss again?
Mwah. Thank you.